It's good to see y'all all here, and we're so thankful that you've come this way, and glad to have you with us this morning. Let me say that today is a special day, Memorial Day, to honor and give honor to those that have given their life for our country. And we can stand here this morning because of what they've done. And, you know, it's just a humbling thought when you think about the people that have given their life for our country. So we want to honor them today. Also, let's go over a few of the announcements. We're going to have a Lord's Supper tonight. And so if you would, come back for that. And we usually do this about three or four times a year, and you know, it's always a special service. We honor the Lord's Supper. So on Wednesday, May the 29th, the church office would like to have you submit the church members only who will be graduating, and to report that to the church office. Also on Saturday, June the 1st, there will be a prayer breakfast visitation, and we look forward to that. And then June the 2nd, next Sunday, the pastor will be honoring that graduation and promotion in the service, so all the children will move. So that will happen at 11 a.m. Also, VBS is ratcheting up. It will be here before you know it. And so if you're part of that, the teams will be meeting and getting you in the slot where you're going to be. So that will be happening next Sunday and thereafter. So we'll also next Sunday look forward to having Augie Abelin from the Philippines. He's one of our missionaries that has been very faithful, and so we look forward to having him here. And then on June the 4th, the Oasis Potluck at 11:30 a.m. If you're part of that group that meets over in the Family Life Center, that's on a Tuesday. So look forward to doing that. Thursday, June the 6th through the 15th, our teens are going to leave on this mission trip to England. And I know they're excited. We're excited. We're so happy that God has allowed this to happen, and thank all the people that has contributed to that. So that's all I'm going to go over on the announcements. There will be some other announcements next week that will be more pertinent at that time, so we'll go over them, some special classes and things. But today, let's talk about our prayer request and our sick. We're praying for Judy Whitson today. She's over in Johnson City in the hospital, and we're praying that God will touch her and lift her up if it be His will. We're also praying for Sharon Harmon. And then these are two names that that we've got up front, but we're also praying for Bob Daniels, Debbie Deacons, David Harrisons, Edith Rourke, Lynn Anderson, Leslie Farmer, and James Ketron. These are folks that are battling with cancer also. So remember them, and usually I'm saying just remember our sick cancer patients. So pray for them this week. And then folks that are continuing to have issues and concerns, Pat Shaw, she's not doing well today. Randy and Pat Scalf, Francis Lawson, and Brother John Young had surgery on Friday, so we're praying for him. And if I miss someone, I do not do that intentionally, but let's remember these in prayer that we've mentioned. And at this point in time, I would like to say, remember our nation, remember our leaders, remember to pray for them. We need some godly people that will make godly decisions for our country. So does anyone have a special request or uplifted hand for prayer? Yes, ma'am. Two unspoken. Okay. Miss Teresa's mom, continue to pray for her. Sheila? Okay. All right. Let's remember this request. Okay. Another unspoken. Anyone else? Okay. Let's pray for Brother Steve this morning. He's going to have something for us that God's laid on his heart, and pray that we will have our hearts open to that word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord God, we thank you for the thousands and thousands of men and women that have given their lives, Lord, for the freedom that we know. And God, just to, Lord, for your blessing America, for all of these 275 plus years, Lord. God, just thank you for your hand being upon us. And Lord, pray that you'll continue to do that. Lord, our world, Lord, is in a lot of turmoil, but you're still on the throne. God, we know that you will have your will. And God, we're praying that you will orchestrate that. Lord, you'll take care of us now. And Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, for those that we mentioned in the sick list, Lord, praying special for Miss Judy and Miss Sharon, and God, all of the other patients that are having issues with cancer, Lord, and not only cancer, but other things, Lord. Some of these folks we mentioned are, they're having hip problems, knee problems, God. They're having, just like Mrs. Jenkins, Jody's sister-in-law, Lord, with her sickness that she's had. And God, we just pray that you'll be with them, Lord. You'll touch them, help them through this trial, as our pastor talked about this morning. Father, I pray that you'll just give them strength, give them help during this time. Lord, thank you for this day. Bless the 11 o'clock service. We pray for Brother Steve that you give him the special unction today. And we'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Brother Danny. We've got quite a few, I think, military people in here. I was Navy. We got Navy guys right there, Marines and whatnot in here. We all knew, probably know somebody that was lost.
I apologize.
Thank you. And I graduated in 69, so Vietnam was going on hot and heavy, and they were drawing numbers. They drew my number, and I took all those entrance exams and tested out fairly high in engineering, so I got to go to engineering school and in the Navy. A lot of my friends went there, and I lost two or three there in the county. So think about those people this today and this weekend, and what they did for this country in a land on the other side of the earth, and there was so much at that time, as much protest going on then about that as there we've seen going on these college campuses here recently about what's going on in Israel. So the world or people always have something to say, be it negative or positive, about the war that affected me was Vietnam. My dad marched through the Pacific and never got a scratch on him. And others. But anyway, praise the Lord for those men that give the ultimate sacrifice so we can sit here today free and worship God free in this country. I want to talk about the wind was contrary. It's a familiar story in Matthew, if you want to look it up there, it's Matthew chapter 14. And we'll start there kind of in verse 22. It's a story we've heard many times. And I think the disciples were at a point, if you look back prior to this particular part of the Bible, here in Matthew, just start backing up and see what Christ was doing with the disciples. Their faith in what they knew about Christ was just becoming, they were growing in their faith, just as we grow in our faith. And we're still growing. No matter how old you are, you grow. If you read God's word and go to church and study, you grow in your faith. God gives us the faith to believe. He gives us faith to get through situations. These men, at this particular time, we just come off the feeding of 5,000. And they were questioning even there, well, how in the world are we going to feed 5,000 people and their families? And had not yet got the concept that Christ was God, but Christ man. And even for us sometimes to say that he was man God, but he was God and part of the Trinity, it to me sometimes I start thinking about that contrast, and when he was walking on this earth, only God could have done what he did and kept himself sinless walking in this sinful world. But I don't think these disciples had figured it out yet. They didn't quite understand who he was completely and understanding what was going on. And it says there in, let's read some of these verses. In 14:22 it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, where he sent the multitudes away," while he sent the multitudes away. So he had this huge crowd of people, they had just fed them, and he told his disciples to go to the other side of the lake, of the river. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. Now, what was he praying about? I have to think because of the circumstances that was getting ready to happen to the disciples, he was praying for these men to have understanding. Now, this is my opinion. I've read some other things, and I agree with some and some I don't. I think he was praying for these men to get a real hold of who he was and what he was there for at that particular time. So when he went up, and when he sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountains apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. So there he was alone with God, of course, praying. And then it says, then the very next verse in 24, but But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. It was a bad wind. It was a bad sea. Sea of Galilee could get really rough, especially on the southern end, where the wind was blowing south, straight down that body of water. I like to fish on Lake Champlain. It's 100 miles long, or better, 8 miles wide in most of the places. And I have a Ranger bass boat. You can't take anything much smaller than that on that thing, because if the wind gets up, it gets really rough. I'm talking about 10-foot swells. It can happen in a heartbeat. We were there one time and up in a cove, and we were at the very north end, and you couldn't even see the end of the lake that way, and the waves were coming, and the water was only like 4 or 5 feet deep where we were fishing, and the bottom of the boat would hit the sand because the waves were so contrary, the wind. One time in the Navy, you guys know, you may not, because you went under the waves. Me and Harold was on top of them. I was in the North Atlantic. It's scary to see 40-foot waves in a little destroyer. I mean, I never did get seasick, but it's still look out a porthole and you have to look up to see the top of the water. That's pretty scary stuff. Water's a powerful thing, one of the elements that God controls. So here they are in this little ship, probably no more than 50 to 100 foot long. Doesn't say what size it is. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. It's tossed. It's being tossed. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Now, it goes from him praying on a mountain, but the ship was now tossed, and in the fourth watch. Well, that's early morning. We used to call that in the military dark 30. That's probably somewhere between 4 and 6 o'clock in the morning. It seems like it can be the darkest right before the sun comes up. And you're so tired. I mean, that watch was hard to stand. You had to get used to standing watches in the service. And what we did, we operated the engineering spaces, is what I was involved in. But if you had that watch, you was up at 3:30 on station at 4. Keeping, making sure everything was running properly and checking steam and oil and all that kind of things that we did. But anyway, it was just in the middle of the night and late at night, tired. They'd been there fighting this thing all night. When we were in that North Atlantic thing, it went on for 3 days. You talk about being tired. You had to strap yourself in your rack. They couldn't cook. We lived on ham and cheese sandwiches for 3 days. It was awful. If you've never been on a ship when it was really being tossed about, it will wear you out. You're having to hold on. The passageways in that destroyer were a little bit, they were about the size of this aisle. And it would rock back and forth this way, but it also went up and down this way. After the storm, you'd walk down the passageways and there was footprints this high on each wall. Because when the ship would roll, you'd walk this way and walk on the wall, and then walk this way and walk on the wall. That's how bad she was rolling. Wear you out. So here we have these disciples in a ship. Did Jesus know what was going to happen? Of course he did. He knows everything. Did he ask God what can I do with these guys to strengthen their faith? I think he did. Nothing happens that it doesn't pass under God's nose. Has the winds been contrary for you lately? In what way? Are you having to walk on the walls to get through this? Are you having to hold on to get through it? When it gets rough, it gets rough. Now, little things will come and go, but there's some things that can come in our lives that are terribly rough. And it don't go away. At the late hour, at the fourth watch, you're up dealing with it. Do you think God knows about that? Well, of course he does. But we can forget that really easy and think, man, why? What's going on here? Why can't I get away from this? God knows all about it. And these guys were going through this contrary thing, this awful storm in their lives. Now, a storm in our lives can be anything we want to pin on. Everybody here, I'm looking at a lot of people. A lot of people's faces tell the story. They're either going through something or been going through something or coming out of something or getting ready to go into something. That's life. God never promised a perfect life. He doesn't say that anywhere. He makes mention of us having to go through things in this sinful world. Now, what do we do with it is the question. Do we just hold on and grumble and complain? We need to grow by it. He wanted his disciples to grow by this. So it goes on here. In the fourth watch, here they are. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Finally, here it is. It's went all night long. They've been fighting this storm all night long, thinking, are we going to die? They're bailing the ship out and the waves are breaking over the ship and it's just a terrible wind and it's blowing and it's rough and 10, 12 foot swells for that little old wooden boat. I wouldn't want to be in it. I was in a little bass boat one time, one of them little looming jobs, and I was on a big lake up here in Virginia and it come a storm. I didn't think I was going to get back. I was running the bilge pump. Water coming over the front end of the boat. I mean, it was pretty contrary. Is that how you feel right now with what's going on in your life? I can testify. I've been through some bad waters. You have, and you all have. And you have, or going, or been there. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out in fear. Not on top of the storm, but they cried out in fear. And straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if thou bid me, come into the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried, saying, one of the shortest prayers in the Bible, Lord, save me. He prayed. He asked Christ to save him. The word straightway there in the beginning of this thing means immediately. Did they argue with Christ? Did they say, well, we want to stay with you. We need to, the weather forecast is not good. We don't really need to do this. No, it says the word straightway meant immediately. As soon as they could get things together, he to constrain means to compel. Christ Jesus knew exactly what he was telling those men to do. He knew then what they were getting ready to go through. He knew then that none of them were going to lose their lives, but they were going to learn a lesson. Has God got you going straightway forward into something? Now, just remember, nothing happens without God knowing about it. So these guys went straightway. So this contrary wind happened while they were obeying God. They were obeying God. It came while they were obeying. God, I'm trying to do the right thing here. We can say that. I'm going to church and I'm doing everything I need to do. And look what you've allowed to happen. Boy, it's so easy to point our finger at God's face. I don't want to do that. I prayed 2 years ago that I wouldn't do that, that I would not blame God for contrary winds in my life. God never promises the road to be easy, folks. In Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without controversy and the content in which things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. God's not going to leave us or forsake us. Ever. We may feel alone, just like those guys that night in that ship. They probably felt really alone. They say, why was Jesus not going with? Did he know this was going to happen? Why? You can ask why? That's who we are. We always ask, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to my loved ones? Why? God knows, folks. But them boys, that night they got in the ship. They did what Jesus said. They were obeying. And God was going to show them a miracle with Christ Jesus walking on the water and settling that sea down. I know one thing. I want to be in the ship. We need to make sure we're in the ship. I think everybody here is saved, and we're in. But there's so many people out there that's not in the ship. They're sinking. They're sinking because they have no salvation in their life. I want to be in the ship. And it says there that Jesus saw them. He was watching. Do you really believe that Jesus is watching what's going on in your life? Do you really believe that Jesus is watching what's going on in this crazy world? I mean, there's no surprises for God. You can read Revelations, Daniel, all the stuff about prophecy, and God has written it down exactly what's going to happen. There's no surprises to Him. What's going on in this world is no surprise. One of the hardest things to do, these men were obeying. And Jesus looked upon them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." All things are possible. Do not stop obeying God in hard times. Do not. Brother sitting there dealing with cancer, and I mentioned to him if he'd like to do the Sunday school class. He said, "Absolutely, I'll try. I'll try." He's still trying to do something for God, even though he was struggling standing up here doing it. And God blessed him for that. Didn't your heart get blessed, brother? He always does when we make an effort. We just got to make an effort, and God will help us get through it. I tell you, these men that night, if we go God's way all the time, things are going to work out for us. Things are going to work out. Jesus came to them walking on the waves. When the same storm was so contrary. It's the same winds, the same waves can roar about us today. And we need to be able to handle it. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. That's what Peter did when he told him he could get out of the boat and walk on water. I mean, he was walking on water. He took his eyes off of Christ. Folks, what a lesson that is to me today. We cannot take our eyes off Christ in any circumstances. Through illness and death and financial and bad times and accidents and family members sick and hurting and going on and on and on. Look what a prayer list we have. So many people have cancer. So many people need prayer. And can God answer those prayers? Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, Jesus came out to them to save them walking on the water, defying gravity. You ever seen a spider or something walk on water? The tension holds them up. They're so light that the actual specific gravity of the critter that's walking on the water is less than, it's a bunch of science stuff. But anyway, when you watch them walk on the water, I was thinking about this the other day. I just wonder if God's footprints made depressions in the water, because these little spiders or bugs that'll get on the water, they make just a little depression, but they don't sink. I'd like to see that. Maybe when I see Jesus, I say, "Can you walk on water for me? I want to see this." Does his foot make a little bit of depression? Did Peter's make a little bit of depression? But he got his eyes off, and he started sinking. And one of the quickest prayers, "Save me, Lord, save me from this. I'm sinking. I'm scared. I'm sinking." So we know that the Lord saved them all. They got back in the boat. And in a very short prayer, when Peter prayed that, "Lord, save me." And when he saw Jesus, he kept his eyes on him, and he was okay. I just want to keep my eyes. There's a lot in our lives that it is sideways. And if you don't have anything sideways right now, you need to be ready and you need to keep your eyes on Jesus. This simple story here, and there's no doubt in my mind Christ and God was training the disciples for what they were going to face in the near future. Because they were going to have to deal with him going to the cross and dying on the cross. They were all going to have to face that and the persecution. And the Romans and people pointing at him, well, weren't you with that bunch? And he denied him. Think about that. I'm never going to deny my God. I believe him. I trust him. I know him. I trust him for my salvation. What more can we say? If we can trust him with that, we can trust him with everything. So God teaches us the lessons when these winds that are contrary are blowing around us and the waves are over our head and we feel like life is so far over our head, we have to look up to see, to breathe and say, Lord, get me up out of here. When the winds were contrary in life, let's pray. Lord, we love you and thank you for being there for us. We thank you for this lesson that you taught the disciples. Lord, how it speaks to me and us today when things are sideways and the waves are big and we're being tossed. Lord, and we pray, Lord, please help us. Lord, there's folks in this room that need help, need healing. Hearts need healed. Lives need healed. Physical healing. So many people in our church that are sick with that cancer. Lord, we just pray that you touch each person. Give us strength. Give us hope. Lord, we praise your name for being there for us and who you are and what you've done for us and what you're going to do. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you, guys.